This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Clark and I, somewhere in Connecticut, is billed as one of the most notorious theater pieces to come out of Vancouver in recent memory. That's because the play is based on a suitcase full of family photographs found in an East Vancouver back alley. Laura Lamb saw Clark and I somewhere in Connecticut as part of this year's Push Festival, and she's joined me with her observations. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Mordecai.
Now, I have in front of me an advertisement for the Clark and I play, and I'm looking at a rabbit. Who is the guy in the rabbit suit?
Well, he's the main character, really. He's sort of a dual character. James Long is a real person. He's the artistic director of Theater Replacement. He's the performer in this play, and he's the guy who found this suitcase full of photo albums in 2005 in an alley behind East 14th Avenue near St. Catharines. And then he's also there. He's sort of a dual character. He's also this bunny suit guy, this rabbit. He's sort of a doppelganger to himself there. And there's only one actor, but there are many characters in this play. It's very interesting the way they did that.
So we got one actor playing many roles. Is it just him switching roles?
Well,
and roles?
No. He just plays himself and himself as this rabbit. And then they use films and slides and audio. And some of the characters are just narrated. You know, they're just part of the story that the main character tells.
So tell me a bit about the character and this dual figure of James and the rabbit.
Well, he's a sort of a pathetic, you know, has a lot of pathos, this bunny. The beginning of the show, he sat in the audience before the play began. He's sitting quite close to me, and he looked very, very sad in this bunny suit. You could see his toes sticking out of holes in the feet. and as the story went on, we find that this bunny works every day in a mall. I suppose it's a mascot, and children attack him. You know, he's unappreciated. He's unappreciated by the children. He's unappreciated as an artist by his Philistine brother, who's a lawyer, who puts him down and refuses to take him to Disneyland. And he's unappreciated by the family in the photos, who he eventually tracks down. He's a naive sort of character. He's sort of gormless. He's sort of, you know, childlike, as you would expect someone in a bunny suit. And he won't listen to his sensible brother when the brother tells him that this homage, this artistic homage he's trying to create about this family in the lost photo albums is basically doomed to failure and also prone to lawsuits. He's just kind of this stubborn, naive.
Kind of nebbish.
Yeah, okay,
in an old Yiddish word. but why a rabbit? Why a bunny suit?
Well, the bunny suit works on many levels, as we artists like to say. The image of the bunny suit comes from one of the photos, where there's a photo of a child sitting in a living room, maybe in the 70s or something, and there's this guy in a bunny suit sitting beside the child, and you don't know why, you don't know where, you don't know when, you don't even know who this person in the bunny suit is. It's inexplicable. The picture is opaque, like all the other pictures that are found. And then the bunny suit brings in this surrealistic feeling. I mean, you know, it's like the surrealism, the juxtaposition of incongruous elements in a way that creates a new meaning, but a new meaning that kind of defies rationality. So, and, you know, it's the whole idea of found objects, objet trouvé, like these photo albums were, is this surrealistic idea. And it allows a way for the actor to actually enter into the photos, to become actually someone in the photos, because he can just put on this bunny suit that looks exactly like the one in the picture and depict that person directly, whoever he is. And it also refers, of course, to childhood and this naivety and ineptness of children, and clowns. It's kind of a clown, and the clown helps to remind us that this isn't just a true story. It's not just a first-person account of events that actually happened, but what we're watching is a fiction, an artwork, a fantasy. And I guess, finally, this for the rabbit suit creates sympathy for this character. You know, it's the awe factor. But at the same time, it's the awful factor, because the bunny suit is really ugly. It's, you know, it's ratty. It's worn. It's and the face on it is not really attractive. It's sort of like the teddy bear that you had that you drooled all over it, and then you dragged it through the street on a string, and your mother wanted to throw it out, but to you it's the most precious because it needs you.
Wow, I get all that out of one bunny suit. But leaving aside the bunny suit, is the subject of the play, would you say, the unknown family's story, that is the family in the found photo album, or is it more about how families in general depict themselves in albums?
In a way, it's about, yeah, it's about storytelling, how people tell their own story or make up a story about themselves in their photo albums. But it's also about James and his family, particularly his relationship with the antagonist of the piece, which is his brother. It's also about how they make up a story, because they have to, because they don't know these people. But then they try to track, when I say they, I mean the collaborators, the rest of the theater group, which created this piece. They track down the real family, and then you know, then the story again changes. So I think it's more about storytelling and art making in general.
So they're really detective. They really do try to find the family,
yeah,
in this found book.
Yeah, they do.
Ooh.
They do find them.
Oh. Sets an edge of disturbance in my mind.
It does in the story as well.
So what you say, it's about storytelling, it's about art. What does it illuminate?
Well, I think one thing is that it's a reminder that as soon as anyone starts to tell a story, even if it's a true story about your life or about finding something in the alley, you're already entering the realm of fiction. You're creating something. You're constructing a story. There's a complex relationship between you know, lived experience and the stories we tell. So the family turns out to be not the family that, of course, it couldn't be the family that James imagines it is. The story that the real family tells about the photo albums is a lot darker than the one that we might imagine when we find the pictures. It's not the same one that the woman who created the albums was telling. I think another thing that Theater Replacement is doing here is that they're very interested in democratizing art, in saying anybody can tell a story, anybody can be an artist, and we can take turns. Because one of the ploys that they use is films. There's films of real people, not actors, retelling a story that the actor tells. And as they tell it in these films, they're wearing the bunny suit, not the head part, but the other part, which turns them sort of into clowns, and it's kind of the archetypal storyteller. They become the clown, they become the jester, they become the idiot, so to speak.
So is Theater Replacement, the group that did this, conveying the idea that artists are idiots?
I think so, a little bit. You know, I think artists often take these kind of ideas, you know, the making art about art, trying to examine what is storytelling, what is theater by taking it apart, which is kind of a major preoccupation of artists in the last long time. Artists often take these kind of ideas very seriously. And I think I appreciated that Theater Replacement kind of refuses that pomposity and tries really shows the artist as being someone who's stubbornly naive. But also, in this play, the artist does get the last laugh, really. They may be an idiot, but they get the last laugh, because this theater piece has actually been quite successful, in spite of what the sensible lawyer has told them, that they could never do it, that it was idiotic. You know, it's touring. It's toured before. It's being revived. Even though the family in the photographs tried to prevent it from tried to prevent the theater piece from happening, called in their lawyers. This has only added to the depth of the play. This has made it better, in fact, because as one of the characters patiently explains to this gormless rabbit, plays need conflict. So I really appreciated that aspect of the play.
So you think that's why it has been successful?
Well, I guess that made it a better play. I think maybe one of the reasons that people are interested in this play is that they're interested in this whole question of using other people's photographs. And it touches people directly, I think, because we all have some experience with photo albums, both ones where we know the stories because we probably made the photo album ourselves, or ones where we don't really know the stories. So I think many people share this fascination with the idea of finding someone's story in the street.
Do you think it's more than just gossip and voyeurism?
Concern
with family, somebody else, some other family's pictures?
I think it's more than voyeurism. I think it's fellow feeling, you know? I mean, identification with someone's treasure that has been lost.
What makes albums in general, like family albums, so valuable, so important, do you think?
I'm not sure, but I know they are really valuable. Whenever you hear about people who have to rush out of their house because it's on fire, the first thing they grab is their photo albums. And near the beginning of the play, James constantly refers to these things that he's found in the alley as beautiful, and he says, "Would you throw that out in the rain?" You know, it seems like a crime that someone has taken this treasure and just pitched it out with the garbage. Would you do that? Of course not. We wouldn't. No, no, no. We say so, and he. He describes his treasure, this suitcase full of old photo albums, as beautiful over and over again. How beautiful it is. And you think, well, yeah, it's beautiful. But then you think, what do you mean? These are not beautiful pictures in any way. They're not works of art. The albums themselves are kind of grotty and you know, they're the kind where you have those plastic sheets and everything kind of sticks together and you know, they get all yellow and they're kind of like the bunny suit, you know.
The toes showing through.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But I think they're beautiful partly because they're so forlorn and it's so sad to see that this urge to create a story, a memoir, and narratize your life. This whole enterprise of keeping a family album is so full of pathos, because eventually it does become meaningless, and someone will throw it out. You know, maybe it's a crime when it's your grandchild who throws it out, as it may have been in this case. But what if it's your great-great-grandchild? You know, I mean, it's an act of art that protests against extinction and death and is ultimately futile. I think that may be one of the things that's beautiful about it.
Thanks very much, Laura.
Thanks, Monica.